What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today with Nigel Dupree. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, dude. So, I am very recent to discovering your music, and I'm very happy about it. We're going to talk about your newest single here in a bit, but that I think we are it's about to be January, and I've probably listened to that damn thing like more than like most songs that came out on my Spotify rap this year.
Man.
So like, honestly, man, it's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, go ahead.
I'm super excited to have it out, and you know, it's been a long time coming, and you know, it feels good to start seeing the word get out there, and you know, especially with the video on YouTube and stuff, just the reach that it's had's been awesome. So it's great.
Yes sir. So let's back up a bit though, just so people could get familiar with you. I guess just give us a bit of a background. I know you've been doing the music gig for a long time now, and I don't want to make it such a bland opening question, but can you kind of give us a bit of a background onto when you started to play, all the projects you've been involved with, that kind of thing?
Yeah, man. You know, I was born and raised around it. My dad's the lead singer in the band Jackal, and for those who had never checked out that band before, I definitely encourage you, because not only will you figure out where I stole all of my shit from, but you'll get a good dose of rock and roll that so many people love. You know, it's been so cool growing up around that, because they have the elite cult following of rock and roll, and I've learned so much from it. And through that journey is where, you know, I got all of my different experiences. Just to fast track it up, the last few years ago, I was out with a band called Wayland, and I played drums with them. We had a great run, and then they decided they wanted to pivot and do a country thing and do something else. And so I stay in rock and roll. I stay in my lane. And so then I was like, all right, what's next? And I met Tuck Smith, and we were lined up to do the stadium tour with Motley Crue and Def Leppard, and it was going to be this grandioso, sick thing. And then this little thing called the pandemic hit, and completely stepped on us real hard, but we plowed through, and he's doing great now. He actually just got back from like a 2-month run over in Europe with Danko Jones, and it just got to the point where I was like, dude, we got you going. I want to do my thing. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I ain't leaving you hanging, dude. I'm like, your train's rolling. And I was like, I'm going to jump over to this track and get my own going. And you know, I'm still friends with the guys in Waylon. I'm friends with him. But I grew up playing drums, then I switched to guitar when I was 14, drums at 5, guitar at 14, then back to drums. And I'm still in my adult life, I'm still that way. I'm like, I want to play guitar and sing. I want to play drums. And I've been fortunate to have two really good runs with those guys. And I got inspired. During the pandemic, I moved to Nashville, and I got into the teching world a little bit. And I ended up out on the road with Pop Evil. And there was a couple sound checks where I got to get up on the mic and sing with them at sound check. And it reminded me of what it felt like to, you know, like I'd be at the House of Blues in San Diego, you know, with the force of that PA and singing. And I'm like, God, I miss this. Like, you know, it's just, I love hitting that kick drum and boom, you know, that's me. But something about standing up there with that mic, you know, it was cool. And then I rolled from the Pop Evil thing into touring with Casey Musgraves as one of her techs. And it was during that time where I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I started working on these songs. And then I left her tour and I went and did a few months with Tuck in Europe. And we went to Japan. And when we got back from that, I was like, dude, I'm going in the studio. I'm doing this. And he was like, hell yeah, dude, go after it. And everything that's being released right now, there's two more songs that are coming down the pipeline. I did all that myself. I drums, bass, guitar, whatever. And actually, Break My Heart, my buddy Scott Williams played bass. He lives in Atlanta. And my dad's got a studio, which I'm at. You can kind of see behind me. I'm here for the holidays.
Right on.
And just in between doing stuff for him or whatever, I would just come in at night for 3-4 hours and pick away at my stuff. Mm-hmm. And finally got it to a point where it was ready for the world. And so I slowly made this transition. And during that time, Jesse Worley, whose dad and uncle are also in Jackal, coincidentally, he hits me up and he's like, I'm moving to Nashville. And I'm like, well, I need a drummer, so let's just keep moving.
Yeah.
Just the stars align, and you know, got another generation of Duprees and Whirlies in a band together.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And talk a little bit about Jack real quick. It's like from my point of view. I was stoked to find out. I'm a Jackal fan. I think I'm the only person in my town that might even know who Jackal is.
Right. But
it's, you know, it is a cult following. That's kind of the thing I've. Like what you said, it is like a cult, like strong fan base, and I love it.
Oh, dude, and 3,000 people will come out of nowhere and sing every word.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And I was so stoked to find out that he has a son who does his own thing too. And I kind of want to hit on a bit, like you did, you said you stole everything from him, obviously joking, but honestly, dude, like it is your own sound. And that's the first thing I picked up on. It is your own sound. It has the, in my opinion, like one of my favorite things about new artists, like modern artists, because I'm a big fan of classic rock. I'm a huge classic rock fan, but when they find a way to not like copy, but they find a way to modernize that sound, like a retro or vintage sound, that's the coolest thing in the world to me. And I think that's kind of what you're doing. At least that's the first thing I thought when I heard it. Is that something, how would you describe your sound?
Yeah, it's definitely classic rock. I like the word heritage rock.
Yeah, I like that.
it's the OG gangster stuff, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just what I've always loved. You know, Grand Funk Railroad was like my favorite band when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. I was just hooked on Grand Funk Railroad. You know, and that stuff embeds in you. And then when I was like 11 or 12. Jackal was on the Rock Never Stops tour with Skid Row and Vince Neil and Tesla. And that was my first little introduction into that 80s world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just always been partial to it. But I had two previous efforts that I've done solo. One of the albums is called Attraction, and it's hardcore 80s to the bone. And then Up to No Good is a little bit more 90s, but it's got the like cock rock, blue jean rock thing to it. And definitely hard retro. And this time around, I was like, I want to meet in the middle and modernize some elements of it and in the songwriting. And it's just little nuances, man. And it's hard to explain, but, you know, definitely absorbing what's around me. And I learned a lot from Tuck. I mean, that dude's a monster songwriter. I don't know if you've ever checked out any of his stuff, but he's just a A-class songwriter, in my opinion, man. And, you know, I'm a fan and a friend of his, and I learned so much from him, and that helped me bridge that gap into, okay, how do I stay true to myself and authentically be me, but also to tap into something that maybe a 25-year-old, you know, would dig. And I don't necessarily write to appeal to people, but I just want people to enjoy it the way that I do. You know what I mean? Whenever it comes time to play, whether it be a bar or an arena, I just want to look out and feel connection, you know? And that's part of that artistic journey in developing the sound, you know, is just like what provokes a reaction and gets me going as well, you know?
Yeah. And I'd imagine, and that's, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's one of the coolest things, like as a fan of music and when I get to talk to guys like you, I feel like there has to be like a certain feeling you get that you can't really describe when you like either witness or like in a live setting or get told by a fan after the show, like, hey, that song connects with me. Like, I'd have to imagine that is an unreal feeling. You know what I mean?
It is, man. It's really cool. You know, and actually how I found out about the Rowdy Alternative and the Raise Rowdy thing through Austin Mead.
Yeah.
I'd done some shows with him. And I think he's doing a great job. The production on his stuff is super modern, but live, he'll give you a little bit of that throwback.
Yep.
You know, you get a little bit of that vintage live, and he's kind of working the balance opposite of me. But still, like, that's just something I took away from him and his live show, and that's how I discovered this. And I think there's a little bit of a scene growing, you know. Giovanni and the Hired Guns,
yep,
they've kind of got that vibe going too, man. And super cool to see the Hippies and Cowboys dudes, you know, they kind of spread out as well. And I just saw that y'all were posting about Revelry,
those are the boys, man. I love them boys.
I filled in on drums for them a couple times now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man. And so it's cool, man. I'm starting to see a community and a little world grow, and everyone's got their own identity, but there's this want and this need for the old school to be brought in. And, you know, and there's been the few bands recently that have popped up and they've done the throwback thing, and it's cool and it's cute. But there's a certain way to do it. Not that I'm doing it right, but, you know, if you swing the pendulum too hard one way, you know, it'll be fun and exciting for a little bit, but then you're going to be back at the drawing board, scratching your ass or your head real quick. So, you know, it's just trying to find that balance and at the same time, stay inspired and keep it fresh.
For sure. And you're totally right about like a community being formed around whatever you want to call this. And that's the cool thing is that there isn't a certain genre. There isn't a certain box that's around it. And shout out Austin too. He's a homie. Yeah. He, I think he's one of the guys right now. Like, I don't think anyone's doing it like Austin is.
No, he's created something really unique, man. It's beautiful to see. It's cool.
Yeah, and seeing like the Texas guys connect with the Nashville guys connected to it's growing, and it's really cool to watch. And yeah, man, that's awesome.
I just recently got educated on the Texas world. It's its own little ecosystem. There's like Texas charts and stuff.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because a lot of people, like, if they're unfamiliar with it, they'll just think, all right, Texas, it's country music. But no,
it's its own country.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's grunge. It's rock. It's crazy what it is down there, man. That's awesome. Yeah,
it makes sense, you know, with our generation spread out towards the boomers and the youngins. It's a natural progression, man. And, I'm excited to be a small part of it. I've got a lot of hills to climb. You know, I ain't sitting on those fancy numbers that Austin and them are sitting on, but I'm getting there, man. I'm only 2 weeks in. So, you know, getting my weight up and coming up from the featherweight to the heavyweights and, give it a good shot.
For sure, dude. Now, since we're talking about like culture and like community and stuff like that, so when I'm from Cincinnati area. So I get down to Nashville a couple times a year that's where Rage Rowdy's based out of and everything. So I didn't know until fairly recently, I guess the last couple of years, that there is a rock scene there and it's strong. And you know, like from someone who's not from there, like goes there a lot. It's like, it's, you know, city of country music, whatever. But like you go there and it's crazy. Like you mentioned the Revelry guys like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts, dude. And like, I'm wondering, like, I want to kind of get your opinion or your experience, like when you did move there and getting into that scene, maybe stuff like that.
Well, first off, I have to give a shout out to Cinema Stereo. If anyone hasn't heard of them, I encourage you to go check them out. They're probably one of my favorite local bands popping off right now.
Okay.
Love what those dudes are doing. But that scene is part of the reason I moved there. The first time I went to Nashville, there was a showcase series that featured rock. And of course, after 2020, a lot of things redirected and people left town, whatever. But before that, like 2016, 17, there was this rock showcase. And I went and I was like, who's that? And they're like, oh, this is this band. Because everyone had their look and they went as a pack and a gang. And it was this whole, and I'm like, what is going on? This is like something you'd hear out of a movie. And then Wayland played Exit In. And some buddies of mine, the Smucker Brothers, opened up and with this Iron Vessel band they had. And it was this cohesive rock and roll craziness. And I was like, I've got to move here. There's something going on in this town. And what's that band that came out of Nashville? Them Witches?
I think so.
Yeah, that's another band that I hadn't seen them. But there was just like, there was something happening at that time. And I'm like, I got to get there. But Waylon was so active. It wasn't until after 2020 that I made the move. And then as soon as life started to come back and you could go into a bar and sit four deep and whatever, the rock scene came back, man. And it's been so amazing. The venues, obviously it's Nashville, you know, the venues are over the top and it's just cool, man. It's such a fun scene. You know, Skinny Dennis, I don't know if you're familiar with that. They have one up in New York and it's been a classic spot in New York forever. And they just opened one in Nashville. And they started doing a rock night. And like, here we go. Like, all right. So it's cool, man. Rocker, you know, Nashville's not afraid to rock. And it definitely, you know, it keeps me busy on multiple fronts. So I love it.
Yeah. And not only there, but like we mentioned the Texas stuff. It's like the crossover between like the you know, the country crowd and the rock crowd, like it meets in the middle. They love each other's kinds of music. And it's so cool to watch, especially now. I feel like it's like very prevalent now.
Oh, totally. And you know, you go see somebody like Coe Wetzel, that's a damn rock show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, you put on his music and it's a, you know, it's got the little Americana, it's the country, you know, it's got those kind of vibes, but live, that's a rock show, you know, and that's where everything starts to kind of meet in the middle. And just like we were saying before, with the balance that I'm trying to find in my process and modernizing it and what Austin's doing, you know, it's really cool that we're at this phase, you know, in rock and roll.
100%, man. And we were talking about live shows, and I think, at least as a fan perspective, I think the live show, at least to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, I think that's the most important part of like discovering a band, just because obviously you have the Spotify new release playlist, but I don't know about you, but like it gets a little too much, like, you know, a lot of good bands,
so much noise, too much stuff. Noise out there. Yeah.
And I think there's no better way to discover a band or an artist is to like go into a club one day and like just witness it. And it keeps like the fans, I think, and like whether it's the stage presence or whatever it is. So what I'm getting at, I was just wanting to ask, like, how would you describe your live show? And do you feel elements of that as well?
I do, man. You can't beat the human connection. You know what I mean? It's amazing what technology has obviously afforded us in a million different ways. But when you come to something with like music, no matter what the genre is, you're moving air and you're moving energy on stage. Mm-hmm. And the connectivity that you get, the chance you have to get with people like that, it's just, there's nothing like it. And I can't wait to take this on the road. You know, one of the my favorite things about having Jesse Worley on drums is, you know, the first show we did together, I called it the March of 10,000 Men. You know, it's like, you know, you're getting ready to go on. I look over and it was like, I didn't know if he was going to war or what, you know what I mean? And I'm like, ah, this is, you know, this is what it's all about. And it just, the mental focus from switching for me from a drummer to a frontman, you know, has been so different. But I cannot wait to get out and start stretching out and trying out new songs. That's the other cool thing. You know, I opted to be modern in my approach and not do a full record. I want to do a couple little singles at a time and do that whole kind of thing and just really take a little bit of time to develop what's working for me and what the band feels. And I'm really excited to get out on the road and try out songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like go home for a week, bang on something new and then take it, you know, hey, first ear's hearing it. Let us know what you think, you know, and that I cannot wait for. And we're actually working on some really, we got a really cool little summer run coming up. Can't talk about it yet. But might be one or two of the names that we've already mentioned involved in the tour and some other cool things. So hopefully all that'll keep moving together. But I cannot wait to take this thing on the road, man. Cannot wait. Right on, man.
And kind of going off what you're talking about, like trying out new songs and stuff and kind of diving more into like actually like structuring and writing, like in general, when you do write. This is something I've been thinking about a lot lately is how do you, like in the modern era we're in with the streaming and like having to drop like the single, I feel like it's a lot of strategy now. Sure. I could be wrong. But how do you balance like when you write, like, this is what I want to do, this is my stuff. Like, I feel like there has to be like, I don't know if selfish is the right word, but you kind of have to be selfish with your own work. That's your stuff.
Yeah.
And like, how do you balance that? And like, you're like the straight up creative, like, that whole entire like element to it with the marketing element. Like, is that hard to kind of navigate?
Well, you know, there's a million ways to approach being an artist, being in a band, writing a song. And fortunately I've been in creative situations where we're trying to chase a trend.
Yeah.
And I've been in creative situations where we're trying to go against the grain, you know, and this time around, it was very selfish motivated in the songwriting and really to the point of, I think it was, there's a viral clip of Rick Rubin that floats around on social media where he's talking about the fan comes last. Don't worry about the fans.
Yeah.
You know, get out of you, whatever it is that's in you, get that out and then they, you know, let them come to it. Mm-hmm. And that really stuck out to me. Because it's so true. You just, for me, growing up in the industry and just being, it's all I know. It's all all I've ever done. If I'm not on stage, I'm backstage doing mm-hmm. something, you know? And, so it's hard to keep focus of what's authentic and real. And this time around, it was just like, you know, I just want to do me and feel like me. And I was like, what songs to me? And it was like, I went back and I'm like, Jumpin' Jack Flash. It's just like 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Pretty damn simple. Got a good groove. And I'm like, cool. And then Highway to Hell. Somewhere around 3 minutes, you know, grooving. And I'm like, I know those inside out. And that was about as much of a template as I gave myself, was just, mm-hmm. you know, just simplicity and just make sure that somehow I'm channeling attitude through that guitar take,
yeah.
you know, and, just trying to harness the energy, you know, from these to these, you know, and it's, I don't know, man. It was definitely a selfish effort.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, cause it, when you write a song and you put a song out, that's a personal thing. It's your story you're telling. It's your, you know, so like, and I think most fans don't ever like think twice about it.
Sorry not to cut you off, but that's an important thing to point out, man. You know, a lot of people just want to feel good. They want to forget about what they were thinking about, or they just want to get through the 45 minutes, 2 hour traffic they're sitting in. And you just got to provide that for them. And a lot of times, you know, I respect it. You have artists, you know, that write these heartfelt songs and they, you know, they got through their breakup with or whatever, but whoever's jamming out in a car is ripping a cigarette to it. You know, they don't really give a damn about your breakup. That song means something new to them now. It's about their dog dying, not your girlfriend, you know? And it's like, that's kind of part of our job is musicians as well, is to give that to people. Because we get it out in the recording process, let them have it from there, you know? And what's actually interesting is Break My Heart is well over 10 years old. And during the Up to No Good record, that was one of the lingering ideas that was still around. And me and my buddy David Buchanan, Officer David Buchanan, he left rock and roll to go enforce the law. And I hit him up about a couple months ago. Yeah, man. And here in the hometown of Kennesaw, Georgia.
I know.
And I hit him up and I go, I'm gonna put that song out. And he's like, what? No way. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, dude. I'm like, you know, because I was writing new stuff. And that song, I'm like, this song's still relevant to what I'm doing. So I'm really excited because the reaction has been awesome to this song. And I'm very humbled and blessed by all the people that have reached out to me and posted. It's been so cool. But I'm like, this thing's only 10 years. This song's 10 years old. We're just getting started. You know, like I'm sitting on a dozen songs that I wrote in the last 6 months, man. And it's like, I just can't wait to get this ball rolling.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about we might as well talk about Break My Heart now. Like I said earlier, I love it. And you, going off what you just said, is that kind of like a not a weird feeling, but is that kind of like maybe like a humbling feeling or like a oh shit feeling when you put a song out that's 10 years old and it gets received the way it did? Like is that like wow, that's kind of crazy. Like how'd that feel to do?
It is. It did feel crazy. I was definitely nervous. And I have a small team of people that, you know, are helping me, you know, push things forward, especially with social media. I'm kind of like a boomer when it comes to to the apps, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I know enough to like get through Instagram and hit some hot girl's page twice or, you know, hit YouTube and, you know, look up how to play some guitar lick or whatever. But one of the things with that is I was like, sorry, I forgot where I was going with it, but it is, it's to have something that old. And then I didn't really tell them. Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting around to. I didn't really tell them that the song was that old until it was solidified. It was coming out. And then we started doing the bio and doing a couple of interview things. I'm like, yeah, that song's over 10 years old. And everyone's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that song's old. Like, but I, you know, what's funny is, this is total like so left field random, but if I'm not mistaken, that Chapel Roan song, like Pink Pony Club or something, it's like 10 years old.
Yeah, I heard that too. You're right.
Yeah, and so that was like a little thing that like dropped in my ear at some point in the process, and I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
This is okay. Because it almost feels like forbid, like it not forbidden, but just like some people, I don't know, it just seems like a move you wouldn't make. Like your first song's 10 years old. Like it's kind of crazy, but I'm like, it's a rock song. You know, like Jumpin' Jack Flash and, you know, Hell's Bells.
Those didn't age.
They're 40, 50 years old, you know, and I ain't mad if it comes on the radio. I'd rather hear that than Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know what I mean? So it's like...
So it's like, it's a rock song, and you just can't go wrong with straight up rock, man.
Absolutely, man. Totally agree with you. It is like, I never thought about it like that either. The examples you use are like those songs from the 60s and 70s, like they haven't aged badly. You know, like that's another cool thing. Like it's just like, I feel like rock in particular, like it doesn't sound dated really. I mean, of course some do, but like
some do.
You could crank up Zeppelin or like, I don't know, like Dire Straits, shit like that. Like it still sounds like new, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a musician, like professional musician. No. So I don't have the vernacular, but, but yeah. So let's still, for Break My Heart, man. This is kind of a bland question, but what, are there any story theme behind it? I know it's 10 years old. I don't know if you remember, but.
it was just David had the chorus, which is just straightforward AC/DC as it gets. Mm-hmm. And my inspiration then is, okay, I can't use any type of verbiage or innuendos that would be straight AC/DC.
Yeah.
And somehow Break My Heart came out over, and I'm like, okay, it's a little soft. It's not super hard, you know, and it kind of balances that heavy riff. And then I'm like, okay, what is Break My Heart? You know, like,
yeah.
And so that's just, I hate to say generic, but the story is just, you know, straightforward, you know,
yep.
I lost you just the way I found you, playing in a rock and roll band, you know, yep. Played by the rules, still made a fool. You know, everybody's experienced that to some degree, you know, and that was kind of whenever I revamped some small little things within the song, you know, in this recent session. But with all my stuff moving forward, I'm just like, what sounds classic to me? What's a timeless subject matter? What's a timeless phrase? What, you know, and then also too, without sticking into something that's overused or overplayed.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you go for the overplayed, you know, I don't know. It's just that song in particular was just the process of nailing what I thought was just a nostalgic sounding old school rock song and lyrical content and the whole thing. And I think I was probably in a relationship at that time. I don't even think my heart was broke, but, but you know, that's what the subject matter lent to. And that's what came out of my mouth when he was playing that riff, just trying to, you know, not damn, you know, you know, so just go into AC/DC mode. I was like, okay, I got to do something. And that's when I found the Black Crowes balance. I'm like, okay, you know, like there's a little bit of a Southern rock thing to be had here. And the opening lick, the gong, 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 that was probably the most recent thing done to that song.
Okay.
That didn't exist in that song. And that was me going, okay, I definitely, because when I open my mouth, I don't talk super Southern, but there's some words that I can't avoid that it's just there. Or I'll be like, oh, damn. You know, like the most random little things will come out of me. And when you're singing, especially in a studio, you have to let go. You have to release. And it's got to be this natural flow state. And some of my pronunciations are just going to be a little bit redneck. And so, therefore, I was like, the band's going to have a Southern rock thing to it, you know, because I can't get around how I sound.
Yep.
And so I had the honor of growing up around Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke, and he's the Southern rock riff king. And so that's always stuck with me too, is just, how effortless his songwriting is and his guitar playing. And, I'm nowhere near, even remotely near any of his abilities, but, just to try to, you know, channel a little bit of what I was able to be around and absorb, definitely, you know, stole a little bit from him as well.
Well, yeah, but I like your style because it's like we said earlier, it's a revamped, modernized, classic sound. What'd you call it? A heritage rock?
Heritage, man. Yeah.
And like basically, like you said, it does have that like the when it comes to the riffs, it has that AC/DC feel. I don't want to keep making comparisons because it's your stuff, but like yeah. if you think about it, it's like the AC/DC like riffs kind of deal. That like Black Crowes, that's great because like I don't know if you hear it this way, but like a lot in the chorus and stuff, like it was like a bit of soul there, like the kind of the way like Chris Robinson yeah. has, like when he sings, like in Remedy or something like that.
Yeah,
like I got a hints of that, and like all that congealed into like what you're doing. Like it's like it's yeah. a cool little mix match of everything, and I think that's yeah, what makes you know, your music.
Yeah, and I grew up in Atlanta in the '90s, man. So there was this huge movement. You know, it was like there's a band called Cry of Love out of the Carolinas.
Okay,
and that is really where my Southern rock love thing came from. And that dude who sang for Cry of Love, if y'all think Chris Robinson's a bad motherfucker, can I cuss on here? Is that a thing?
Yeah, you're good. You're okay, good.
Yeah. Chris Robinson is a bad motherfucker, but Cry of Love, God almighty. Cry of Love was so badass that oddly Freed, who's later played with the Crows, he came from Cry of Love.
Okay, wow.
Oddly was, that was his original band was Cry of Love. And they were so badass, the Crows were like, you got to come with us. Unfortunately, the singer for Cry of Love took his own life during their second record, unfortunately. But it paved the way for Oddly to step out on stage with the Crows. And that's one of my favorite versions of the Crows is with Oddly. Just to nerd out for all the music lovers out there, you know. And then there's the Four Horsemen, you know. Rocking is my business.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Business is good, man. Yep. That was the shit I was growing up. You know, like the 90s in Atlanta, that was the big thing, you know? And so mm-hmm. I just always kept that sprinkled into my creative process. And this time around, I hit the pedal to the floor on it.
Right on, dude. Right on. So what can you tell us about anything else you got coming out? I know you mentioned some more music maybe.
Yeah. So we've got another video that's going to drop in a single coming out here at the end of January.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say about that. It's coming at the end of January. We've got another one. And we're about to hit the studio at that same point in time with Johnny K, producer. He his most recent thing I think he did, I know he just did some stuff with Giovanni and them.
Yeah.
And he did the Plush record.
Okay.
And I think his big trophy Grammy record is Disturbed, Down With The Sickness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good company.
He did some stuff before that. He did like Enough's Enough back in the day or whatever, but his first like bing was Disturbed, and then from there, you know, if you Wikipedia him, it's like damn. And him and I were actually looking to do my third record 10 years ago, and I just kind of got frustrated where the industry was at, man. Radio was still king. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Spotify, we didn't have Instagram and TikTok. It wasn't there. Facebook was just getting introduced. MySpace was kind of the standard. YouTube was a new thing, but not for bands. And radio was king. And at radio, it was active rock. And like all love to Shine Down. Those guys have always been super cool to me. That's just not my cup of tea, man. Like that's mm-hmm. not what I do. If you ask me to sit down with a guitar, I couldn't sound like them if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And Breaking Benjamin and all that stuff was what reigned supreme. And I was just like, I was just discouraged because there wasn't an outlet like there is now. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, during those, I took a couple years off and worked for Kiefer Sutherland just to keep dropping more names on this thing. But
didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Totally random. So I took a few years, worked for Kiefer Sutherland. He launched his band. I helped him go out on the road and get that whole thing going. I stage managed and, you know, helped. I was the only one out there doing all the tech stuff. So it was cool. It was a unique experience in life. And then that led into playing with Wayland.
Okay.
Because he had a label that was affiliated with them, and it was a whole little bubble thing, and they ended up needing a drummer. So I left the Kiefer thing straight into Wayland. Wayland ran its course. They'd made the decisions to do something different. And next thing I knew, Tuck and I were in a room together, and fast forward here. So, yeah.
Right on. You've been busy.
Yeah. Dude, the last 10, 15 years is just like click, you know, it's wild. So I'm hoping for the next 10 or 15, we'll have some more fun, man. I'm stoked. I cannot thank everyone enough for the support. And every day I at least get one or two texts from the most unassuming people I would never expect to go, dude, that's badass. And I'm like, really? Cool. All right. Woo. You know, It's cool, man. I'm very, very grateful. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, it was nerve wracking until it came out. And even up until about 5 minutes ago, it's still nerve wracking.
Oh man. Well, Nigel, dude, I can't wait for what's to come, man. If it's any, like, break my heart, really, like, got me going. I can't wait for the rest of the release coming up and anything after that, dude. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we'll do the session with Johnny K, and we're going to do something really cool with that. We're going to document we're just going in for one song with him, but we're going to document the whole thing, and we're going to do a little YouTube series on the making of and give everyone that real in-depth look. I want to go live during those sessions, man, and let people just see us damn stumbling and trying to fucking figure out, you know, left from right on what's what. Cause I'm not a scared. A lot of people are scared to show the process.
Mm.
And I get it, you know, to each his own, but I'm like, this is a raw rock and roll experience, man. Like cause I want to inspire people. Cause so many people, especially younger musicians, you know, they're like, oh, I want to do this with it. And it's like TikTok and everything has almost misinformed them on what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. Everyone's got the look down. Everyone's damn, you know, cosplayed the hell out on the whole thing, which is cool, rock and roll, you know, but like dig into those fundamentals. What made your favorite records great?
Yep.
You know, it wasn't jumping around with your guitar unplugged in your bedroom. You know, there's a lot of work that went into it.
Yep.
And I want to open that up to people. So we're going to do a little YouTube series on it and a video behind that whole process. And, I think we're going to bring in some extra musicians for it too, some background singers and some keys, and so it'd be fun, man. I'm really excited, and then hopefully by that point we'll be looking at announcing some dates.
Yeah.
And there's one nice little cherry dangling out there. It's not confirmed yet, but man, whenever it comes time, I cannot wait to share it. Maybe I'll reach back out to you. Maybe we can do something special to announce the video and the tour or something like that, man. It'd be cool.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So. Yeah, I cannot wait for all of that. Like, I'm very excited. And thanks for hopping on. This is a blast, dude. I've been looking forward to this one.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. And again, thank you to everyone for paying attention, giving me 5 minutes of your day, and keeping the word of rock and roll out there. Nigel in the Heat on all the socials. Please check it out. And thank you, Sam. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You guys make sure to check that out. Also check out Raise Rowdy and Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything. Google us. We'll show up. So Nigel, stick around for a second when we're done here. But thanks a lot for hopping on. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you tell your friends who's gonna take you home now? Cause baby, I'm down to get dirty. You and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. We ain't gotta get no rest. Take your time, make you feel just right. Make